So as I read Jesus' parable for today about the widow and her strive for justice, it reminded me so much of my grandmother, Edna Marie Eshelman, who would be 110 years of age this year. She was my maternal grandmother from Columbus, had been raised on the hilltop and moved around Columbus when she grew up and got married. There are so many stories about her in my life. Matter of fact, when I knew I was going to bring her forth in the sermon today, I decided that I had to make sure I dressed appropriately because she, I know it would be the old school, but she is the one that told me how to dress, especially in church or gatherings like that. She's the one who bought me a suit when I was going to go off to college and seminary and declared that I was going to be in the ministry. She said, "You're going to need suits." And she, when I was young, I should have shared that with the young ones here today, she's the one who says you always wear a t-shirt, whether it is sleeveless or sleeves. That's what you do. That is proper. And so I've never been able to not wear one. Yes, Grandma, even though at times she commanded we change our behavior with her yardstick, all of her grandchildren loved and cherished her. And of course, we all said we know that we're the favorite grandchildren. We also loved it when she pulled up in front of our home during the weekend, even though we loved going to her house as a great place to play. But when she would come up, she would open the door to her tiny Renault automobile, in which she always had a treat or dessert that she had made ready to bring to our house. And her tiny little Renault, I used to say Renault, I didn't know it was Renault when I was a little boy, it reminded me of the car of Flippo the Clown. Does anybody here remember Flippo the Clown? Yeah, a lot of us do. In that little tiny car he drove, and it just so happened that Flippo the Clown was not just for our family a great person who had his television show, and he was the advertiser for the Farm Crest Bakery cookies that my father made. So my father would tell us stories about Flippo coming into the cookie factory. But he had that little car, and Grandma's was so similar. One of the great memories was to go with Grandma in her little car and go to Central Market up on North High Street, off of North High Street in Columbus. She was always negotiate the price of the chicken or the beef, roast beef, or with the clerk behind the counter. She would carefully examine the fruit before selecting her choice, especially when we were buying things that which she would be canning. Going to the grocery store with her, now that was an unforgettable experience. She would not just go to one store, but to two or three on a given Saturday, or depending upon the sales and coupons offered. I recall the day that we had gone to the IGA and purchased the sales items there that she needed. Next, we were on our way to AMP, and she got out her coupons and received a further discount on the items purchased. And then we came to Big Bear. We stood in line then and began placing the items of the groceries from the cart onto the clerk's counter. As the clerk completed totaling the cost of the groceries, she asked Grandma if she had any coupons. Her answer was always yes. She had already cut them out of the newspaper. She had organized them. The clerk noted that one coupon had expired, so she could not reduce the cost by a nickel for several items. There's your nickel, those of you who came up here. As I stood there listening, Grandma exclaimed, "What? Let me see the coupon. What do you mean expired?" The clerk handed her the coupon and said it expired yesterday, so she could not discount the items. As Grandma looked at the 5-cent savings date, even though it was outdated by a day, she insisted that she receive the discount. She said, "I could not be here yesterday." By now, everyone in line behind us was paying attention to what was going on at the cash register. As Grandma became more firm in her demand, embarrassingly, I kneeled down below the counter to hide. She demanded to see the store manager, who came over to listen to the division between the clerk and the customer. Quickly, the manager, who greeted Grandma as though he had experienced her discontent previously and other times, he ordered the clerk to give her the 5-cent discounts. Grandma thanked him and said to the clerk, "Thank you, but I told you that the coupons should be honored." As time passed and her grandchildren grew, we began to note Grandma's driving of her Renault. The pop song had come about. The little old lady from Pasadena. She drives real fast and she drives real slow. She's going to get a ticket now sooner or later, as she can't take her foot off the accelerator. In Grandma's case, she annually went to Pasadena to visit her children and grandchildren out there. At home in Columbus, she seemed to drive 50 miles an hour, whether she was on the new freeway or the side streets. At that point in time, we started calling her Granny, the little old lady from Pasadena. As I read the parable for today, the widow and her persistence reminds me of my grandmother. In the widow's case, it was a judge with whom she challenged. He was not only a judge, but a judge of injustice. The scripture reminds us of the judge's thoughts. "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." Note that Jesus actually thinks that there is a judge who will not grant justice normally. The lesson notes that God will grant justice to those who cry out to God. And God grants justice. And what is the message of this parable from Jesus? Yes, First, it signifies God's justice to us. Next, it instructs us to follow in the steps of the widow, reciting the verse from the scripture. Listen to what the unjust judge says, said Jesus. And I add, and how and why he changed his way. What message is here for Christians today in the Church of Jesus Christ? The answer to this question is, according to Jesus, as a people of faith, we are to cry for justice to God and before the decision makers that abuse the system out of their lack of hope and their misinterpretation of justice and their lack of trust in God. Recently, I noted when glancing over your responses to serving Grace Church in 2014, with your time and your energy, that several of you included the context of acting for justice. Contact the decision makers on a particular issue that the church supports, you said, or by participating in a march. To do so as a church, we need to take the brave step and determine where we have consensus on a certain social concern. Meanwhile, we need to ask how such actions will integrate into the future of Grace Church. Perhaps an easy subject would have been to join together to call upon Congress to open the closed government. I wonder what could we do on local issues or on the state of Ohio concerns? Could we come together on issues regarding our prisons and our jails? In seminary, I was assisting a professor in preparing a class on social justice and social action. We began studying and observing the county jail. We joined with a local Lutheran pastor who was so involved with the problems there. And we held a demonstration against the treatment of inmates by preparing signs and handing out egg sandwiches and stating, "This is what we feed our inmates 3 times a day. I wonder if Grace Church would find a common bond and grounds for action. Regarding the capital punishment laws in Ohio, of which I have opposed for many years, perhaps we would focus upon the lack and abuse of treatment of incarcerated youth, often abused in detention centers. We would act in 2 ways. One, we could serve the youth who were in similar situations and serve the others who needed a spokesperson for justice. On the federal level, it could be healthcare, could be torture. The list is endless. I would be glad to offer sermons on any of these social justice concerns, such as teaching nonviolence to a gun-violent world. Should we have a public meeting here in this church on such issues? It would be great, I think, to be known as the church who opens itself to debates and discussions on such matters and trying to come up with a healing resolve. Too often, though, our turning to Jesus is related only to salvation and healing. We need to note that While both of these are so legitimate hopes regarding one's faith, we are not to uphold those by neglecting justice. We are to support the widow in Luke 18, who today continues to cry in our presence, near and far. Jesus kept the voices of the Hebrew prophets in his heart, and thus lived out our proclamations such as Jeremiah 31 that I read earlier. Here's part of it. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Whenever a prophet spoke, that was usually about social justice for God's Hebrew people. Some years ago in West Virginia, I joined in the support of the United Mine Workers, who were in a battle with a coal company regarding the right of the miners to join the labor union. We held a prayer vigil in the front of the entrance to the mine. That evening, it was on the local news. The next evening, Rebecca and I attended the West Virginia Governor's Christmas dinner party. To begin with, at that party, you stand in line for 20 minutes to have your picture taken with the governor and his wife. When it was our turn, the governor and the first lady greeted us with hugs. We lined up with the ladies in the middle and the men on the outside for our photo. And we all stood there and we were smiling. And while the governor was smiling like this, he said, Reverend, I saw you on the news. And he's smiling. What were you doing on the news demonstrating against a coal company? I responded with a big smile before the camera. Governor, we were not demonstrating with... We were praying in a prayer vigil. We discussed that as we bumped into each other throughout the evening. Actions for justice come in many sizes and shapes that help bring forth equality, camaraderie, respect, fairness, safety, and in the end, the love of unity that we call reunion. My widowed grandmother, in her energy and actions, did turn beyond the legitimacy of a 5-cent coupon to purchase groceries. I recall going to her home and noting the picture of the new president, John F. Kennedy, hanging on the wall in her study. As an 11-year-old Nixon supporter, I inquired. Upon questioning her, she declared, "This president, Dennis, is a gift to the world. I voted for him and I worked to support him and still do. He is a gift to the world." In closing, I offer unto you the widow's sacrificial consistency as she cried for justice and her actions spoke louder than words. May that continue to be part of Grace Church of the United Church of Christ. Amen.